Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
Father, for he is good. In eternum misericordiaeus. He created the world with wisdom. In eternum misericordiaeus. Thanks to the Son, light of the nations. In eternum misericordiaeus. He loved us with a heart of flesh. Let us ask the Holy Spirit for the 7 holy gifts. In eternum misericordias eos. Fount of all goodness and sweetest relief. In let us ask for peace from the God of all peace. In eternum misericordias eos. The earth waits for the good news of the kingdom. In eternum misericordias eos. Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May the mercy of the Father, the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And with your spirit.
My dear friends, we have reached the end of the Jubilee Year of Mercy. It has been an extraordinary time of grace and mercy. In this Eucharistic celebration, we raise our voices to the Father in a hymn of praise and thanksgiving for all the gifts he has bestowed upon us. Once more, before approaching these sacred mysteries, let us invoke the soothing balm of his mercy, acknowledging that we are sinners and forgiving one another from the bottom of our hearts. You have commanded us to forgive one another before approaching your altar. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
You invoked mercy upon sinners as you hung upon the cross. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
You entrusted the ministry of mercy and reconciliation to your church. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, graciously keep us from all adversity, so that unhindered in mind and body alike, we may pursue in freedom of heart the things that are yours. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the second book of Maccabees. It happened that seven brothers with their mother were arrested and tortured with whips and scourges by the king to force them to eat pork in violation of God's law. One of the brothers, speaking for the others, said, "What do you expect to achieve by questioning us? We are ready to die rather than transgress the laws of our ancestors." At the point of death, he said, "You accursed fiend, you are depriving us of this present life, but the King of the world will raise us up to live again forever. It is for his laws that we are dying." After him, the third suffered their cruel sport. He put out his tongue at once when told to do so, and bravely held out his hands as he spoke these noble words. It was from heaven that I received these. For the sake of his laws, I disdain them. From him I hope to receive them again. Even the king and his attendants marveled at the young man's courage, because he regarded his sufferings as nothing. After he died, they tortured and maltreated the fourth brother in the same way. When he was near death, he said, "It is my choice to die at the hands of men, with the hope God gives of being raised up by him. But for you, there will be no resurrection to life." The word of the Lord.
Glory appears, my joy will be full. Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full. O Lord, hear a cause that is just. Pay heed to my cry. Turn your ear to my prayer. No deceit is on my lips. Lord, when your glory appears, my joy. I kept my steps firmly in your paths. My feet have never faltered. To you I call, for you will surely heed me, O God. Turn your ear to me, hear my words. Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full. Guard me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. As for me, in justice I shall behold your face. When I awake, I shall be filled with the vision of your presence. Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting encouragement and good hope through his grace, encourage your hearts and strengthen them in every good deed and word. Finally, brothers and sisters, pray for us so that the word of the Lord may speed forward and be glorified as it did among you, and that we may be delivered from perverse and wicked people, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. We are confident of you in the Lord, that what we instruct you, you are doing and will continue to do. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the endurance of Christ. The word of the Lord.
Christ is the firstborn of the dead. To him be glory and power forever and ever. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Some Sadducees, those who deny there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, 'If someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother.' Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman but died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and likewise all the seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now, at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and remarry. But those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are the children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called out, 'Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Before I begin the homily, I want to congratulate and thank our new deacon, Deacon Armando Leal, who is from the cathedral here and is now assigned to the cathedral. He was ordained yesterday with 9 others for the Diocese of Corpus Christi. So welcome. I was asked yesterday why we are closing the door so early, because the year does not actually end until the 20th in 2 weeks. But you know, the Pope is the Pope, and he gets exclusive rights to the 20th. So he allowed us bishops throughout the world to open holy doors so that all of us could have access to this wonderful mystery of God's mercy, but that our doors would have to be closed before his. So since all the bishops are meeting next week or week after in Baltimore for our annual bishops meeting, we had to anticipate a little bit. So today is the day. I also want to thank all the other sites, the other places in the deaneries where the holy doors have been present, to St. Joseph's in Beeville, St. Joseph's in Kingsville, St. Elizabeth's in Alice, the shrine of Schoenstatt, and sisters are here. We closed that door last night for the Refugio Deanery, Our Lady of Perpetual Help here in Corpus Christi, and our own cathedral. The parishioners and the pastors and people have been so wonderful welcoming pilgrims to the door and really sitting with them, praying with them, and making the sacrament of reconciliation available. I pray that for all of us, this has been a powerful year of not only meditating on God's mercy, but receiving and giving, participating in God's mercy. And so as we do at the conclusion of every year, every secular year, we kind of do a review, hopefully, and we look ahead. So the question for us this morning as we conclude the year of mercy in the diocese, are we more merciful? Have we learned anything about mercy? Is our heart in the same position as it was 11 months ago? Is our mind still filled with the same thoughts? Do we still have old grudges, regrets from 11 months ago? Or has there been any conversion in our life? God is merciful, and he wants to give his mercy to all. And so it's an opportunity for us again to ask, are we here today in the same condition that we came last Sunday? Or is there something different in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds, in our attitudes, in our speech, in our thoughts? Has anything changed? Because the real change, sisters and brothers, is an interior change. Not just a change of politics. The real change is what changes inside. And so this is what conversion is all about, to change from here to here. And mercy is the road for that change. At the beginning of this Jubilee Year of Mercy, in the letter opening the holy year, our Holy Father, in the very first opening lines, said, Jesus Christ is the face of God's mercy. Jesus Christ is the face of God's mercy. And he says these very words can sum up the mystery of the Christian faith. Our Christian faith, our Catholic faith, is not about a set of moral rules. It's not a certain ethic. It's not about being a good person. It is about Jesus Christ. It is about his face, his words, reflecting God's mercy in the world today. And so throughout this year, as we have read, heard, hopefully meditated upon, and lived the words of the gospel that we have heard, something hopefully has moved inside of us. One of the gospels that has touched me the most, and it was only the gospel last weekend, was when Jesus met Zacchaeus, the terrible, terrible IRS agent in Jericho that nobody liked. And if there are any IRS people, it's not any reflection on you. Just happened to be the tax collector in Jericho. One of the commentaries said that Zacchaeus was probably black and blue from the many times that people kicked him when they had the opportunity, tripped him, and he fell on his face because he was short. When they laughed at him, they bullied him, and all these sorts of things. So he was always in the back when the people had access to Jesus. But he wanted to see this man because he felt something inside about who he was. And remember who he is, the face of mercy. And so he ran up the tree. And what struck me is how Jesus approached that situation. He saw him up there. He, of course, knew his name. And he said, "Zacchaeus, I want to come to your home this evening and stay with you. Think about it. When some scoundrel like Zacchaeus is in our life, and that could be a child, it could be a mother, a father, a teacher, a neighbor, anybody, how do we react? Especially if it's a child, we probably tear them down the tree and start instructing them, punishing them, judging them, and all sorts of things, in anger, usually. Jesus called Zacchaeus down and said, "I want to come to your home." And why? Because he wanted to get to know him. We judge, we condemn, we instruct when we don't know people. And we all do it, myself included. But this year of mercy has called us to a new mentality. Jesus confronts the mentalities of the times. And his gospel must confront the mentality of the day. Look at the readings for today. The mentality of the Sadducees is there is no resurrection. It's all here, boys and girls. Get what you can, do what you can, because it's all over at death. The Maccabees believed that there was eternal life, so they didn't mind giving up their own life to this world because they would have more. And the Sadducees brought this ridiculous story of the brother and the husband and his six brothers, and the wife married all of them. In heaven, whose wife will she be? Jesus knew that was a ridiculous scenario. But he said to them, "You're thinking as if everything is here. You're thinking, you're projecting into heaven what we live here on earth. In this age, we marry and are given in marriage. But in front of God, that's not the way it is. We are God's children, and we live for God in heaven, not just for each other." And so it's a mentality, my sisters and brothers, that we have to face with mercy. And so when we look at the gospel from here on out, we should always read into it, where is mercy expressed? Our Holy Father has shown throughout this year great manifestations of mercy. Today, and I would suggest you go on the website, today he invited to his home, to the Vatican, thousands of offenders, inmates in prisons. They came and he brought them into the Vatican without guards to be with them and spoke to them about mercy. If we think about it with the mentality of Jesus, cannot mercy create miracles in people's lives? Cannot mercy soften our own hearts and change our own minds about things? Mercy is the mind of God. Mercy is the face of God in Jesus Christ for us. And so if we are truly going to be not just people who know about Jesus, not who just know the teaching of the church, the sacraments, all of that's so important, but that's not the heart of the faith. We are not called to a certain ethic or just to be good people. We are called to have the mind and the heart of Jesus Christ if we are going to be his disciples. A disciple is not one who can just recite what the teacher taught. A disciple is one who enters into the life of the disciple, of the teacher, and allows the teacher, in this case, to come into his own life. That's why the height of St. Paul's spiritual life was when he was able to say, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live is the life of God." That's a disciple. Not someone who just follows a theory, but who embraces a person, the person of God, the person of mercy in Jesus Christ. That is the invitation we have, sisters and brothers, to approach our faith, to approach what it means to be Christian from here on out. As we in a moment at the end of Mass close the door of mercy here, we open our hearts to a new way of life. We open ourselves to allow God to live in us, to allow Jesus to operate in us, to approach every person with mercy. As you perhaps know, many of you, a few weeks ago I was with Father Han in Vietnam, and we each day, it was not tourism, by the way, it was a mission of mercy, I would call it. Because each day we went where the sisters that are present here have their homes for the elderly throughout South Vietnam and North Vietnam. And each day we visited one or two of these homes. They were usually elderly women dying, malnourished, but taken in by the sisters so they did not die alone or without love. One of these women was at the end of her life, and perhaps now she is with the Lord. She was Buddhist, but sister looked up at me and said, "She will be baptized before she dies, believe me." They have that kind of faith. But as I watched the sisters care for this lady, it came to me so strongly, because of the grace of this year, that these sisters and their helpers were the touch, the incarnation, the physical touch of God's mercy for this woman and all of them. If she was not there, she may have died on the streets of Saigon alone, not knowing love and not knowing mercy. And it called me that each person we meet, we must show that mercy that we have received and that we know. Beyond our differences, sisters and brothers, beyond the differences of the people that we meet, what is supreme in life above any government, is God's mercy. And you and I are the ones that are called to confront the mentality of our world, which is unmerciful at times, with God's mercy. If those sisters had not touched that woman in that way, she may have never known what mercy is. I ask all of us to not allow a day to go by that we do not show mercy. We must show mercy, because it may be the last time in a person's life that they ever communicate or are communicated the mercy of God. May our lives be new, may our lives change, and may we always reflect the mercy of God through Jesus by living his life in our own. Let us now profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. My dear friends, let us recognize that heaven is our true home. We strive to lead lives of mercy and love. Let us now approach the throne of grace with these prayers.
For all bishops, priests, and religious, may they continue to teach and model the virtues, the Beatitudes, in order to inspire others to love and serve others. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our civic and world leaders, may they serve with humility, integrity, and compassion for all the people. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who are downtrodden, meek, and forgotten in our society, that they may be shown mercy and treated with dignity. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our faith communities of our diocese, that as we close these holy doors for the year of mercy, we may continue to be presence of God's mercy for all people. May we always be a place of welcome for all who enter our presence. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who have died in a special way, that they may experience the never-ending joy in heaven in the company of the angels and saints, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for those intentions we now offer in the silence of our hearts, we pray to the Lord.
Merciful Father, hear the prayers that we present today and answer them according to your will through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Please join in singing our offertory hymn, We Are the Light of the World, which can be found in your orders of worship.
Blessed are they who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God.
Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Look with favor, we pray, O Lord, upon the sacrificial gifts offered here, that celebrating in mystery the passion of your Son, we may honor it with loving devotion. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you so loved the world that in your mercy you sent us the Redeemer, to live like us in all things but sin, so that you might love in us what you loved in your Son, by whose obedience we have been restored to those gifts of yours that by sinning we lost in disobedience. And so, Lord, with all the saints and angels, we too give you thanks as in exaltation we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, me, your unworthy servant, and all the clergy.
Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours now.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Hello, I'm Father Han Pham, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.